If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Leslie Kane, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and I've got a news update for you today with a whole lot of items happening, a lot of stories even in the last couple of days, which are well worth talking about or touching on. If you've been online, you'll have seen these. If you haven't, you probably won't have heard of them. But the UK is not the only thing hotting up as we move into the middle of August. I'm recording early morning in the shed because it has been extremely, extremely hot out there, but not as hot as the UFO stories. Excuse the awful segue into the first here. But listen, folks, lots to get through, including Representative Anna Paulina Luna's comments on Joe Rogan, an exchange online between Representative Luna and Luis Elizondo with some awkward emails being put out there as well, Ross Coulter leaving Need to Know, an alien object potentially coming close to the Earth, and I'll discuss that with Avi Loeb's comments, and there's an Alien Alchemy, American Alchemy documentary from Jesse Michaels on the Nazca mummies, which are really relevant given I've got Will Brown joining me in a couple of days' time, who has been to see the mummies and through his Incredible Histories channel has a documentary up there as well. So again, the Nazca mummies, they are something that a lot of you ask me to follow up on quite often, and I'm excited to have Will Brown on the podcast to do so, and a whole lot more, including some thoughts and questions from yourselves. But let's dive into the Representative Anna Paulina Luna, her appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast. So let's go through some of the kind of key moments for me in there. And as always, whenever I'm talking about someone else's podcast, someone else's content, even someone as high and mighty as a Joe Rogan, I would always recommend, if you get the chance or time, to go and seek out the full form podcast yourself, or even just the clips for context. But I'm going to try and take you through the kind of rough conversation that happened. So there's a lot I feel worth unpacking, some interesting claims, some frustrating moments, I think, for me and others from what I've seen online, and a few things that maybe were a bit sloppy in the way they've came across. But look, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Anna Paulina Luna, from my understanding, is not a physics PhD, or she has some huge background in religious studies like a Diana Pasulka, the same as myself. So some of the language, I think you'll find, she has clearly picked up from others, and it can sound a bit muddled, but the gist is there. And for a general public of millions that listen to Joe Rogan, Luna isn't a UFO person to the masses. This isn't a UFO podcast. It's not a Pasulka, a Grush, a Dolan, you know, an Elizondo who's on there, a Greer, I'm just naming names now, I'll stop, talking about UFOs. This is a sitting congresswoman, a sitting member of Congress, making these statements. So regardless of what she says or how it comes across, this is big. This is really big. So for me, she talks about her background and gives a military anecdote, talks about time in the military, working as an airfield manager, speaking to a lot of pilots over the years. That was part of her job. She mentioned one story that stuck with her was a pilot who told her they'd encountered a craft that could outperform them in the air. She puts this down to UAP, largely because of how the pilot described it. And that's the sort of first-hand account that clearly has stayed with her since then, since way back before she had any UAP or UFO interest. She expressed frustration that Congress, the people elected to represent the American public, are still being denied information from base commanders and others. That's a huge point, that if lawmakers can't access certain data, then accountability is out the window. And this is something we have heard before, but here she is saying it on a massive platform. And this is from someone actively in the fight to get more transparency. Listen, I know depending on where you sit on either side of the fence in the United States politically, that statement may come across in different ways. You may think she is, you may think she's not, you may think she's fighting a losing battle. I don't know. But taking things at face value, she is the chair of the Secrets Task Force. So let's just take things at face value at the minute. But I appreciate not everyone is on board with the Secrets Task Force, shall I say. Some of the interesting comments she goes on to make here, folks, that I think will make the headlines. She says, now, it gets a bit more out there. She says that witnesses from the congressional hearings have told her that these things are interdimensional. She says something like, and I'm going to quote as best I can here, folks, I took notes in a Starbucks. I'm not back on the coffee, by the way, but I was in a Starbucks. Some of the tech these energy things have allows them to operate through the time spaces we currently have. That's not my idea. That's information we have been told. And that is pretty much the sentence. It does get a little bit jumbled. And that's what I mentioned before, where I think perhaps she's repeating things she's heard from experts and doing her best to put it across on a platform like Rogan. You can see Rogan's face screw up a little bit, and he tries to follow up on some of these ideas that I don't think she can go deeper than, but I'll get to that. She tries to connect it to religion, talking about the modern Bible, that there's missing books of the Bible. That's something she says she'll come back to a few times, that she seems keen to talk about. Rogan actually asked a really fair question. How do the witnesses know this? How do they know these objects or beings are interdimensional? I don't think Representative Luna could answer this, not for classification reasons necessarily, but because she's just relaying what others have told her. Perhaps a David Grush, for example, or is it a Dr. Stephen Greer? Is it a Lou Elizondo? We don't know exactly without her saying. Honestly, it might have been better if she just said this directly. Someone like myself, and again, you may be different listening or watching this, may disagree with that, but I would rather someone just said, look, I've been told this and I'm just passing on the information. I'm putting two and two together to try and get four based on my experiences, based on the people I've spoken to and the limited evidence I've seen, which is still better than what a lot of the public are seeing. She goes on to make one of the most striking claims. She says she's seen photographs of things not made by mankind. And again, you've got a sitting member of Congress, a well-known one, saying this online on a massive platform. It's making headlines in the United States and beyond. That should be bigger headline news, though, for me. She didn't go into detail because she's seen them in a SCIF. And again, folks, I'll just repeat, a SCIF is a secure compartmentalised information facility. It can just be a well-structured room, which you don't take phones into, you don't record, that are soundproofed, all that kind of stuff. So it can be various different places. But it raises an interesting question. Are the photos classified because of what they show, or is it because of how and where they are taken? Rogan didn't quite push on that, which is a shame, because, and what I mean by that, folks, is if Anna Paulina Luna is in a SCIF and someone slides a photograph across a table and they say, here's something, and she sees an object in the photo, and for her, she's clearly happy that, wow, this is something wild. Let's say she sees the Tic Tac in full high fidelity, for example, okay? Now, is that photograph classified because of it showing something rather exotic, or is it classified because of where it was taken and the platform it was taken with? And I would like to know that at least, because for me, that's something she can discuss. She doesn't have to say exactly, but she can tell us, no, it should be shown to the public, or it can't be shown to the public because it's taken in Russia or China or somewhere we were spying, or it was taken with a platform that we can't let folks know we have. That would be fair and a good question to ask for me. But again, Luna saying she's seen evidence. Some interesting thoughts from listeners on that standard of evidence when I get to the listener thoughts, so hang with me, folks. She mentioned she gets some wild public submissions. She said her office gets bombarded. I think she said her exact words were with crazies. People turning up or sending in strange claims, people saying they've been to Mars, people dropping off USB sticks anonymously and running away. So she is sifting through a lot of noise while trying to focus on credible material. I've made this point before, folks, okay? I understand anyone trying to get into this topic with little to no background in it, especially in a position of authority or a high-pressure position like a congressman or woman, a senator, anyone in the military, those kind of folks, right, who don't have UFO backgrounds, who are all of a sudden trying to talk about this publicly, who do they go to? If I ask all of you to get in touch with me, and you don't have to for this, okay, to say, who are your five go-to people for UFO information from the beginning? Who would you recommend a friend or family member to go and listen to, go and check out? I imagine 100 folks getting in touch with me are going to give me some similar names, but a lot of different names and a lot of different angles and views to approach this topic. That's what you've got congressmen and women trying to navigate their way through. And I think that's where you see an Eric Burleson, Representative Eric Burleson, who has Elizondo, has Grush, has Greer, has Sheehan, you know, others like that who are trying to give him information from different points of views. And it must be difficult to try and navigate that, because they're not just sitting down and watching, for example, a Stephen Greer documentary on Netflix. They are sitting down and speaking to them face to face. So they get a different view, and you can read people differently in that way. So I don't envy them trying to catch up to a level that everyone feels satisfied with and that mistakes are going to be made. Some other points she raises, folks, that she's trying to get a screening on the Hill of the Age of Disclosure documentary. She says she hasn't seen it. Joe Rogan says he has, and he says it's very good. He mentions there's little to no UFO footage in it, which I think we know. If you go back and listen, I spoke to a couple of listeners who had been at the South by Southwest premiere back in March, April, I think it was March, who have seen the documentary, and it is what we think it is. But yeah, they talk about it briefly. There's still no information on release of this yet, folks. And it can take, I know a couple of folks online who said they feel it could be a year and a half before something like that comes out. But is it then out of date, potentially? And is it relevant? I don't know. But let's hope it gets a showing sooner or later to the public, or at least to folks who need to see it. She says the UAP task force doesn't have declassification authority, but they are pushing intel agencies, who she claims have been pretty transparent, for more. She talks about some in power being uncomfortable with all of this because of their personal or religious views. She brings up, you know, removed biblical texts, angels, psychic abilities, remote viewing, including a story about the Coast Guard using a remote viewer to locate drug smuggling ships. If anyone has an interest in remote viewing, please dig into it. It's fascinating. If you haven't listened to that kind of stuff yet, I would recommend any number of Third Eye Spies. It's a wonderful documentary available online. I think it's a couple of pounds or dollars to rent. I've had Russell Targ on the podcast to discuss remote viewing. Fascinating gentleman. Go and seek those interviews out with a whole bunch of remote viewers, or on this and other podcasts, because it's a wonderful, fascinating topic with a huge link to UFOs. And she mentions the telepathy tapes and the idea that 20 years ago, you'd be called crazy for bringing that kind of thing up. But I'd argue you still would today. For example, I had a friend of mine who is a podcaster, not into UFOs in the slightest, but he messaged me the other night to say he doesn't feel I should interview someone like a Karen Alexander, who I've just had on discussing crop circles, because he thinks crop circles are nonsense. He's not listened to the episode with Karen, my friend, but and he won't either, because he is steadfast that all crop circles are nonsense, because they have been shown to be made by people with planks of wood under their feet. there's not going to be any convincing him otherwise, unfortunately. And I think a lot of that still sticks in the public myself. So my feeling is someone close to Luna should maybe advise her to dial back some of the wilder speculation when she's on a big mainstream platform like Rogan. Not that these ideas shouldn't be discussed, but right now she's a sitting congresswoman speaking to a non-UFO audience, and when she starts mashing together bits from what I think, and I'm just presuming folks, are different interviews or different conversations she's had with a Jake Barber, a Diana Pasulka, a Lou Elizondo, it can sound like a patchwork of half-formed theories that she can't dive into, and maybe even to frame it better and say, look, I'm just speculating here based on some things I've heard. And that would help, as opposed to trying to pass it off as, I know this for a fact, when you can't give the facts. And the problem is, there's some really, really good stuff in, I think, what she said here. The secrecy, the oversight issues, the photographs she's seen. And some of that can get lost in the message of drifting into unverified rabbit holes. But yeah, she brought up the orchestrated smear campaign against David Grush, saying it only convinced her there was something to his claims. All in all, the Rogan interview for me has some serious bombshell moments, some speculative tangents, but a reminder of how tricky this topic is to navigate in public when you're representing the public, pushing for transparency, and trying to make sense of some very complex and strange information, folks. So yeah, really interesting. And what I want to do is get to some of your thoughts on Luna's interview. Please go and check it out. Don't take my word for it, folks. I'm just paraphrasing a lot of that and giving you my interpretation. But it's a good interview, and it, like I say, it starts immediately. Rogan doesn't do the whole thing like a lot of us do, where you get a guest background and you talk about Luna and early interest and how she got to where she is, which is pretty standard form for interviews. I like it personally to build a foundation. Rogan's interview, bang, starts talking UFOs and it gets right in at the deep end, you know. So here's a lot of listener thoughts on it. Claire says, it's very exciting. Such a huge audience too. However, I'd be interested to know more about how Representative Luna is perceived in the US. Do people respect her views and words, or is it something that they would roll their eyes at? I'm not going to answer that because I'm not based in the United States. I can only see her from my perspective in the UK. I know it can be mixed. It is mixed. I'm just going to say that, how people view any congressman or woman, any senator, you know, all that kind of stuff, depending on political party, depending on things they've said in the media, controversies. But let's go through some of listener comments who maybe touch on that. So Metal Matt said, I love Representative Luna, and I believe her, but I've seen things that I know aren't man-made as well. And Matt, I suppose that helps when you yourself have had those experiences, much like me. I've said, if all the folks who we really trust and respect in this topic, and you yourself have unique individuals you trust and respect, if we find out tomorrow it's all been a big game and psyop, I've got my own experience, my unique experience from the 90s that you can't convince me didn't happen and there wasn't something incredibly strange to it. As disappointed as I would be in individuals. So yeah, that always helps to have. Stephen said, they're prepping for a reveal. Hal Puthoff said as much. They're going to admit there's an NHI at this stage. Stephen, I know you comment quite a lot on the platforms. Folks, if you're involved in the Patreon, on the Discord, on the YouTube channel, especially if you get the free trials access for Patreon and stuff just now as well, go and check them out. Leave some comments. Really interesting communities on there as well. And you get access to the Discord and you get to get involved in these conversations on a day-to-day basis, away from the hassle of some of the more toxic online social media. But Stephen on there quite a lot. Stephen, I'd love you to expand on that. What makes you confident? What makes anyone out there confident right now that this is pushing towards an admission of NHI? And maybe another story I'm going to get to soon could strengthen that a little bit. James says, she was careful in answering the question, so she's definitely seen something interesting. And that's James's words, that it's interesting. I agree. Nick says, I know she has to be careful, but I wish these individuals would add some additional detail as to what makes them so confident in that statement. Yep, I said that before, Nick. I think it's a balance of classification, skiffs, all that kind of stuff. But also, Perhaps she's piecing together some bits that she's been told privately, and she doesn't want to come out and say that because that's not still strong evidence. You know, speaking in the corridor to David Grush, for example, for some lends a lot of weight. It would for me, but for others, not so much. So I appreciate the balancing act that has to be done there. Teflon Eddie, great name. As a statement from a sitting member of Congress, this is quite profound. Yet, as with many of the events of recent years, it doesn't have a lot of meat on the bone, but it's still a significant admission from a government representative. So, interesting comment, and I want to follow up with David, who said, I don't listen when politicians are on the Joe Rogan Experience. So that's an interesting point. And again, I think that stands for most podcasts and interviews and shows and YouTube channels where people pick and choose who they listen to. And a lot of folks perhaps won't listen to a politician talk about the UFO topic. I know folks who get in touch with me who don't like the recent news when it does involve Congress, the Senate, politicians, UK government, or anything like that, because they don't trust the government, blanket, period, that's it. So yeah, that's fair. But David, I would try and seek out, if I were you, even the clips of this one, or maybe you've just listened to this and felt it was enough, which many folks do, and I appreciate that greatly. Nicholas says, that's a pretty big statement. And Kathy followed that up by saying, it had to be made. There's soon going to be even bigger statements that will finally reveal the truth of this topic and how it's also related to others, other phenomena, including what really happens when we die. And she's put die in quotation marks. Things are ramping up now. That's it. I don't disagree there that a lot of these topics are definitely linked together. When I mentioned remote viewing before, near-death experiences, something Leslie Kane, well known for authoring the New York Times article in 2017, has a really interesting documentary on Netflix, Surviving Death. And I've interviewed Leslie on that as part of the podcast as well. And I think a lot of these things are linked. That can be a really difficult for me, folks. I talk about trying to speak to this with friends and family and work colleagues in public. I don't go out my way to do it. But when it comes up, that for me is a difficult avenue to try and start to link some of this stuff together. You lose people, I feel, at that point. No matter how sensitively you try to get into those conversations, it just seems still far too much of a leap. But yeah, maybe perhaps some kind of profound statement, but we still seem so far away from getting real proper public disclosure. I think for many of us, disclosure's happened or happened as best it's going to. Catherine follows up, the cheese grows more binding. A quote from my father seems to apply here. Unfortunately, I never really knew what he meant. By inference, I took it to mean either as the curds separate from the whey, the cheese is formed, or if one eats too much cheese, they will become constipated. Seems like either take on my dad's words might be appropriate here. Yep, I'll let folks digest that as they will. But I like that, Catherine. You know, I like a good analogy or quote from that. And I wonder, are we at the point where, you know, I'll try and make my own sense of that. Is the curd separating from the whey? And is the ship being separated from the truth? I don't know. It seems really muddy at the moment. And I'm going to get into the Ana Paulina Luna and Lou Elizondo exchange in just a moment that happened yesterday, which doesn't help and certainly muddies the water. I'll get to that. Kevin said, good to hear open and frank discussion by an articulate congresswoman. The more voices, the better. Her Florida military base experience was telling about the difficulties whistleblowers face. Yet, Rogan had to remind her that the skiff flu she mentioned was likely due to fear of repercussions. I'm not sure, but she didn't seem to get that. The Book of Enoch references were interesting, but took up too much time. This stuff is best left to the likes of Diana Pasulka. I agree with that final sentence, especially there, Kevin, that I think you can touch on this, but I would have liked to have heard Luna mention, you know, there are some things such as, you know, Bible books being left out of the true Bible, all that kind of stuff. But people should chase up Diana Pasulka and others. I hope I never infer that I am an expert in anything at all and like to lend that I only listen like many of you do and watch like many of you do and pass on information I find interesting or points of reference. Sometimes I dive into it, sometimes I don't for various reasons. I think Diana Pasulka, from a religious aspect, is definitely one of the folks that you should go down that route of listening to. She's been on this podcast. She wrote the foreword to my book, which is due out soon, folks. I'd love if you have a little look at that and pre-order if you can. It's due out the middle of September. But Diana Pasulka has been on this podcast, and Joe Rogan, and many others. Wonderful to listen to. I love listening to Diana Pasulka. And she links the UFO topic and the religious aspect wonderfully as well. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out Diana Pasulka. Spider Lewin says, part of me wonders if some sections of politics or even society are hijacking the UFO subject as a way to provide evidence of religious beliefs. I was hearing a lot of, I believe in God. So, rather than cold hard facts, just an opinion, there is a bit of that strewn throughout. I can't disagree. It does get sprinkled in liberally through the interview with Rogan. And yeah, it's not completely for me, the religious aspect, and it can be a little bit off-putting. However, I get it's part of it. I get Luna is religious. I've seen some stuff online that I'm not even going to dive into and talk about on here, about her religious background being pretty mixed, perhaps even controversial, depending on what news site you click on. But yeah, it's very hard to separate from the topic, especially when someone is religious. Unidentified, love listening or reading unidentified stuff on Patreon, because they're very honest. Unidentified is very much that by name and nature, but I think a lot of folks can resonate. So, I held back, but it's hard. Luna is talking out of her hat. She has seen photographs. Who showed them to her? Lou? Who briefed her? Richard Doty? The loose notion of interdimensional beings being thrown around casually over the last few years is meaningless at present. Reference to things that move outside of space and time requires deep explanation rather than a flippant mention. If we're talking, for example, about something similar to Donald Hoffman's assertion that space and time are not fundamental, and reality is actually made up of conscious agents that interact outside of space and time, and that we ourselves render it in real time, then say that, because at least it's math and science and driven by observation and, crucially, is not classified. Gah, I hate this. That feels better, thank you. I'm glad that rant helped Unidentified. And I get your point. I think within that, I was trying to hopefully make those points in what I was saying around who is Luna speaking to, who is briefing her, what are the briefings, how official are they? And again, the interdimensional thing, I get that, because what does it really mean when people hear that? And I think for many, at a surface level, it just means not coming from another planet. And then take it from there. So I get that, but I think it's right to be honest. And Treda, with a final comment here before we get to the Lou and Luna email exchanges, fucking show us then. And I imagine this will be something a lot of folks echo. So really interesting on the Anna Paulina Luna appearance on Joe Rogan, those statements coming out. I'd love to hear your follow-up on that, folks, because I will be doing a breakdown with a guest on this in the coming days, perhaps next week. Just I've got a few interviews over the weekend and not been able to record a lot this week due to the searing heat in the UK. And as you know, the shed I record in here has been incredibly, incredibly hot. I couldn't have breathed properly. But yeah, lots more news to cover in this show as well. Just before I get to that, folks, if you're on the paid versions of the podcast, you won't hear any adverts coming up. Thank you. You can check those out on free trials on Patreon and Apple, folks. But if you sign up to the podcast, every penny is a prisoner to folks right now. It really does support me, and I would appreciate it. That whole thing about a small business, you're supporting a family and putting food on the table, all that stuff, that's really what the podcast became for me. So if you aren't on the paid platform, I would appreciate you listening to a couple of adverts that are now going to play, and that couple of 0.001 cents all adds up and makes a difference from this audience. So if you can listen, thank you very much. If you're on the paid platforms, the show will just carry on. And this is the show carrying on, folks. So let's get to the email exchange here with Lou Elizondo and Anna Paulina Luna. So I mentioned the skiff flu thing from before, okay? And this is the skiff flu was a comment that was made a couple of months ago when skiffs were meant to happen back in May. I believe it was David Grush, Lou Elizondo, and Christopher Mellon were due to attend. However, things happened last minute. They had mentioned they had been cancelled on a few times. I believe it was Luna came out and made the comment, people got the skiff flu, and she's insinuating they're deliberately avoiding skiffs to come in and discuss classified or sensitive information. With the mention of that on Joe Rogan, not that she named anyone, Lou Elizondo put out a tweet on August 14th at 10 to 4 in the morning my time, but that would have been August 13th in the US. Lou Elizondo says, after several visits to DC at the request of members of Congress at my own expense, we were given cancellations at the last minute. After coming back home again, I made it clear the last time that I had a pre-existing commitment. I was given 3 days' notice and no guarantees while having committed to speaking in Oregon, which is publicly available. Luna knows the truth and we have the emails to prove it. I will chalk this up to her not being informed by her staff and an innocent mistake, I hope. Otherwise, let this be a lesson to future whistleblowers who want congressional protections. This is all about media attention and less about truth. I hope this is not the case. And I suspect Chris Mellon and others at the UAP Disclosure Fund that know the truth may have more to say about this. And he tags Chris Mellon, Joe Rogan and Anna Paulina Luna. And then he goes on to copy in an email. I'll get to some of the issues with that, with a lot of redactions of email addresses that from Mitch over, I believe, in the White House or something, who says, good afternoon. I sincerely apologise for late notice, but due to the ever-influx congressional schedule and some conflicts, we need to shift the non-governmental briefing to the week of May 12th. We'll reach out back with a new date and hopefully work for everyone. Look forward to seeing you all on Thursday. Anna Paulina Luna then commented back, and as much as I said how great it is to hear Luna talking on the podcast, on with Joe Rogan, that mainstream platform, we now have a sitting congresswoman and the former head of ATIP, former counterintelligence individual, having it out on social media. So here was Anna Paulina Luna's response. A strange and frankly bizarre post from someone I didn't even name. Lou Elizondo, you have my number, yet you went on X instead of contacting me directly. We've been coordinating with the same organisation you were a part of, only to learn that the UAP Disclosure Fund Roundtable, the UAP Disclosure Fund Roundtable, you had left. Correct me if I'm wrong. Regardless, you could have still come to the skiff at any time. As I told you, we'd work around your schedule. Let this be a lesson for all UAP whistleblowers. We have an open skiff policy. If you have information to share, we will gladly host you. How Lou handled this wasn't just immature, it was odd, especially since I never even mentioned him by name. The fact is, he never returned despite our willingness to host him. And yes, I'll still extend the invitation now. If you have anything, come in and brief us. We will get the skiff. It is 100% on you. So, there we go. There's some emails tagged there as well. Eric Burleson had actually followed up to say, you're both patriots who are passionate about serving our country. I take blame for this because the problem we are facing is that we are trying to align the stars and have everyone be in the skiff briefing at the same time, which is clearly much more difficult than I thought, especially considering that it is on their whistleblowers' dime and many of them legitimately have service-related health issues to varying degrees. Lou Elizondo, that being said, if you wish to come in and do the briefing in the skiff, we can work around your schedule. I'm happy to talk offline about how we can make it work and further how we can make the experience for whistleblowers not as much of a sacrifice as it has been. Yes, this has caused a whole ruckus online. Not a lot more I can say to that, folks. I'd love folks' opinions on it, but I don't think that has a great look playing out online. However, perhaps this does lend, and I actually read these to my wife, who, again, not a big UFO person. Hello to Susan, who won't be listening to this. She never does. But she didn't think it was a good look. She knows who Lou Elizondo is. She knows who Representative Anna Paulina Luna is, to some extent. And she was surprised to see two adults in senior positions having this out online. And I think Representative Eric Burleson's been quite adult coming in there and saying, taking the heat out of the situation to say, this is, I'll take the blame, let's try and do this the right way. If you are of a speculative nature, conspiratorial nature, you could look at this in multiple ways. Are the gatekeepers winning? Is this all deliberate? Or is this just human nature? And is this just the cold hard facts that no matter what sort of position you are in,
public facing, high up in government, in politics, in the military, in academia, you're still human and you're still potentially going to make the same mistakes that others will make in these situations. I don't know. What do you folks think of this? I know so many of you listen to this, particularly listeners who aren't on social media, who have come off social media. Perhaps most of you on YouTube are still on social media just by the nature of how you're viewing the podcast or listening to it on YouTube. I'd love to know the differences there. But what do you think, folks, on those exchanges and this whole skiff situation? Does it really matter? I don't know. But for me, it's not an overall great look, is it? And I think the truth usually is somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between on that. A couple of other news items I think that are worth touching on. Ross Coulter, of course, people asked me to comment on this, leaving Need to Know. The what happened essentially, folks, if you don't listen to Need to Know, and I think you should, Ross Coulter, Bryce Sable, well-respected journalists, researchers for a long time in this topic. Bryce has been in it even longer than Ross, of course. Ross, I think, has made such a big name for himself in the topic and, of course, now has a really successful News Nation show, Reality Check, which he does on a weekly basis. They had a conversation, a bit of a back and forward. I spoke to this on a couple of breakdowns. Dan was on with me as well at one point. We talked about Ross Coulter making the assertion that the Tic Tac was Lockheed Martin technology, and he knew this categorically. Bryce had a lot of pushback on that with him. And then the following week or so later, they announced there's some changes coming to Need to Know. Need to Know announces there's a new co-host. It's going to be Bryce and AN Other. The other is Richard Dolan, which a lot of folks that seems to have gone down really, really well with. I love Richard personally. Again, he's wrote a little bit for the back of my book for me, which I really appreciate. I really respect Richard. For me, it changes the dynamic of what the show is, because you had Bryce Abel, who, this is just how I view it as an audience member, represents the audience and asks the questions off the back of what the journalist Ross Coulter, who's coming in with the claims, the journalism, the investigation side of things, what he's saying, and they had that back and forward. I don't think you're going to get that now, where you've got a different dynamic and a different personality type. You've got Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan, who are both more similar, and I think it would be likely the show will shift more towards historical perspectives, not having the Ross Coulter on there. I'm not going to go into drama. I'm not going to go into wild speculation. I don't know what happened. I know they've said there's been no falling out. They're still friends. Things have just changed. However, if you read between the lines, and not even between the lines, Bryce, someone did ask Bryce about, you should get Ross Coulter on for an interview on Need to Know Now with yourself and Richard and Ross. And Bryce basically said, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but the door's open to Ross. So I think there's been a disagreement and a parting of ways there. Hopefully it's been amicable. I don't know exactly what's happened, but I don't think Bryce took well to what Ross had said. Bryce had mentioned online he did ask Ross to follow up on that on a future show. Ross said he wouldn't or couldn't. I don't know what's happened there. It's disappointing. These things happen. Things change. I hope the evolution of that podcast is a positive one, and I don't think you could have got anyone better than a Richard Dolan to redo that dynamic. So best of luck to them. I enjoy listening to Need to Know. It looks like it's going to a monthly format now, where it's been more weekly or bi-weekly, depending on how busy they've been. Richard Dolan, of course, does very similar updates on his own channel as well, so we'll see how that affects things. But yeah, Ross Coulter moving on from Need to Know, but still, of course, hosting Reality Check on News Nation, which is a huge resource. And I've got some listener questions to finish off with soon that touch on some things folks want to know. Reports recently of an alien object coming into the solar system. This has hit the news pretty big, I say pretty big, relatively in the UK even as well. So Avi Loeb is back in the headlines, and hopefully Avi is due on with myself soon. I think it was July 16th of this year. Avi Loeb, the Harvard astrophysicist, has been known for stirring the pot a little bit on the alien tech side of things, published a paper with colleagues about a newly discovered interstellar object called 3I Atlas. It's only the third confirmed interstellar visitor to our solar system after Oumuamua in 2017 and Borisov in 2019. Now, what is Loeb's idea here? Because a lot of the big headlines and the YouTube clickbait thumbnails, and I'm still trying to stay away from those folks, it really does help the algorithm if I put something really sensational in the headline and then this face is not going in a thumbnail, but you know, the shocking arrow and the shocking headline and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to keep this, you know, sensible, serious, because that's what you people seem to like and listen to, and it's my preferred method of it's me, that's what I like in this topic as well. He's not saying this is alien, of which a lot of folks are picking up on, that Avi Loeb has said we have an alien craft entering our solar system. He's suggesting we should consider the possibility this object might be an alien craft or even an alien probe. He points to its unusually large size, a strange glow pattern that seems to shine in front of it rather than behind it like a normal comet tail, and the fact its path through space is unusually well aligned with the plane of our solar system, something he says only has about a 0.2% chance of happening naturally. The paper was meant as a thought experiment, a what-if scenario, but the media have picked it up and suddenly it was everywhere by late July. A lot of different outlets have ran with the story, and even a US congresswoman called on NASA to consider sending the Juno spacecraft for a closer look. I can't remember if that was Luna. Most astronomers, though, say there's nothing mysterious here. They think that 3I Atlas is behaving like a natural comet would, with water vapour, a coma, and the usual stuff you'd expect. But Loeb's position, and I agree with this, even if there's a tiny chance of it being something more, we should check. That's where it's at. We've got an intriguing object speeding through the solar system. One very focal scientist, one well-known public scientist now, Avi Loeb, raising the possibility of alien technology, and a lot of the scientific community, sadly, rolling their eyes and ignoring it. If I was a scientist, I would like to think, even if I had no interest in the UFO topic, this should be something I would go, yeah, let's try and get there just to see what it is. Even with the rarity of it being an interstellar visitor, we'll call it, that we know of. And can we get there? Is the Juno spacecraft within range? You know, let's go for it. Let's do some science. Do you know what? Worst case scenario, you catch up to it and you get some samples, and I'm sure scientists can use those. You learn something about tracking and catching these objects and doing something with the materials, the composition, all that kind of boring science stuff that scientists would love. Or do you find something else? And isn't that how science is meant to work? And I often voice that frustration, I think, on this podcast. Yeah, so again, thoughts on 3I Atlas. Hopefully Avi is on with me very soon, folks. I would recommend folks check out the Jesse Michaels documentary from American Alchemy on the Nazca mummies. I've not had the chance to watch it myself yet. I've seen a lot of good things. If anything, it will be very well made and well produced, because that's what Jesse Michaels does. There's a very high production element and quality to what he does. He ain't in a shed, I promise you that, folks, but he does incredibly well, and I'm working on my own video skills and tech, and even little pictures that have been appearing up here if you're on the YouTube channel and whatnot. I'm trying to get better, and it's something I promised myself this year. I wanted to improve certain things that I would do slowly over the course of 2025, and hopefully you're starting to see that now. The Mummies documentary, especially because I've got Will Brown from Incredible Histories. We're recording this weekend on the Nazca Mummies. Will Brown's been out to see them. Check out his documentary on his channel. Very much worth watching. It's only about 45, 50 minutes long, but he interviews folks who are involved in the science being done there. And it'd be really interesting to speak to Will on the whole Nazca Mummies thing. A lot of you ask me to follow up on it very, very often. And to finish up, folks, on some listener questions, I'll fly through these, and I hope you've enjoyed this format. I've been doing these for a little while now, the kind of solo news updates, with a view to then jump on board with the breakdowns. And you should see this weekend, hopefully if I get to it, a new kind of clip show of the mummies being talked about in various podcasts I've done. So not an omnibus where it's a full interview thrown out there under a category. It'll be small clips talking about the mummies, just to whet the appetite for the Will Brown interview coming up, and give you a little bit of a catch up if you aren't familiar, or maybe you're out the loop with the whole Nazca mummy situation as to where it was. So yeah, if you enjoy that, hopefully you do. It's something I'm planning on doing a little bit more as we go on, because it prepares people for interviews coming up too and catches them up. So thank you if you do get a chance to check those out. So finish up on some listener questions, folks. Let's get to Patreon first. Again, Patreon has a free trial. Really appreciate if you can sign up and support me in the podcast in that way. Algo says, for me, the biggest yet under-investigated story is the UAP drone flap over New Jersey and everywhere else. There were and are still thousands of witnesses and data records, so many controversial statements have been made. Drones, UAP, airplanes, mimicry, anti-gravitics, China, FAA, garages, military sites, motherships, governors, law enforcement branches, independent researchers, psionics involved. What has not been said? That was very, we didn't start the fire, almost there. And for anyone that said drones, UAP, airplanes, mimicry, anti-gravitics, yeah, I'm not going to do the whole song, but you know, you get the gist. We must assume some of the statements are true, and others are very much part of an expensive psyop. All parties got involved, up to the US president, so much smoke, there must be a fire. We didn't start the fire, see? I'm predicting things. It would be great to hear your thoughts on how to analyse this case, maybe to even have an episode about this with one or more guests bringing in their perspective. Honestly, I don't know, Algo. I've done a few episodes on this. Tim McMillan, I released that right at the beginning of this year, I believe it was, with Tim McMillan talking about the drones. And do you know, folks, I don't talk about the data very often on here. From an audio perspective, that has been the biggest show I've done this year in terms of downloads. More so than Gary Nolan, Jacques Vallée, anyone like that who's been on the podcast. Tim McMillan from The Debrief talking about the drone situation. And it sparked a bit of controversy because of Tim's opinions on what it was or wasn't. I've had the Tedesco brothers talking about the drones, Marek von Renningkamp, Brian Bender I had on as well? Yep, all discussing this. And if people have suggestions for this, or people they'd like to hear on discussing it, I'm all for it. I just think it's so messy. Where do we go with that conversation? So I'm open to ideas. Maybe there's a round table to be done there if I can get some folks involved, perhaps. Shelley says, I'm reading The Believer by Ralph Blumenthal, and he's relaying the sightings over DC in the 50s, and it makes me wonder if that was somehow a threat to TPTB to put a stop to the public finding out the truth. A sort of, here we are, and we can take you out, and you can't stop us sort of threat. What's TPTB? I'm being proper slow here, Shelley, but you'll have to put me in the loop there of what that means. But yeah, I wonder. So going back to the DC flap in the 50s, I enjoy the Ralph Blumenthal commentary. I've not had Ralph on for a while now. Perhaps, I'm not sure, to put a stop to the public finding out the truth. Even reminds me of things like, you know, the moon landings and being told don't return here, all that kind of stuff, that kind of speculation. It just seems that they're very, very active still. People are still seeing things. People are still encountering abduction experiences. The US Navy, the military, the Chinese, the Russians are all having these. They're not exactly staying quiet. But I don't know. Maybe there has been more of a shift to a military perspective. Interesting thoughts and comments, also. Thank you, Shelley. Kevin said, Ross Coulthart recently dropped the idea that non-speaking autistic telepaths, like the spellers in the telepathy tapes, may be involved in psionics. I'm wondering if you've heard any more about this and what your general thoughts are on the growing emergence between consciousness and UAP. It goes back to that whole question of what is consciousness. Non-spoiler here, folks. I just watched the first two episodes of Alien Earth. Some interesting ideas in the first episode of synthetic bodies and consciousness being transported. I quite enjoyed the first two episodes. For me, it doesn't seem as big as a movie would, although it's clearly a big budget TV series. So I would recommend folks watch it. My wife watched it with me, who's not into UFO stuff, and quite enjoyed it. So I don't think she's seen any of the Alien movies either, perhaps one of them. So that's explored in there. Even reminds me of things like Minority Report with the, I can't remember what they're called, but you know, the three people in the pool who are like telepathic and everything like that. Yeah, I think there's some great conversations to have there, and that's where, like, for me, the most I know in there is remote viewing connected, where consciousness, you're part of something bigger, we're all part of a network, and you can access the information in and out that network. Some can do it better than others. I don't know, is consciousness local? where it's consigned to the body, is the body and brain a receiver for something elsewhere, which I think is more likely, and that would for me be an idea of around the whole death experience, and your consciousness just goes back to the source. So, you know, the TV show is not being made in your TV. The TV show is being made elsewhere and beamed to your TV. Your TV is the body receiving the show, receiving the information. And I think that's perhaps something along those lines, Kevin. Lisa said, "Hi Andy, I'm really interested to know your thoughts on the Ross Coulthart situation. I had relied on him as someone who seemed to have integrity. However, I'm increasingly disillusioned. I think since he moved to NewsNation, he has become more and more reaching out for headlines, becoming part of the story rather than documenting it. I also get really wary of the 'I know something I can't tell you, but here's a tease' style of reporting, namely the alleged spacecraft under a building. What do you think? I'm also curious as to what exactly happened between him and Bryce, as their schism occurred so soon after Ross Coulthart basically dissed the Tic Tacs as being the work of Lockheed Martin. Lastly, I'm very glad of your interested but always questioning approach to the whole subject. Please don't succumb to the let's make headlines style of podcasting. So many seem to fall victim to this." And Lisa named someone there. Although, cool, we'll leave that there because I don't like slating people, and it's all opinion. And not unfair, Lisa. I get where you're coming from. I've covered what I think around the Ross and Bryce situation. Ross does make some sensational claims. I enjoy that, and not just because I've got a podcast and it gives me something to talk about and people enjoy listening to that, but I also enjoy hearing that anyway, because it makes me think and I can decide for my own whether to believe that, how much credence to put in it or not, based on my own experience, my own thinking, what others say. I enjoy reading commentary online. I especially, folks, enjoy reading the commentary on Patreon, on Discord, not because you're paying me for the podcast, just that, but it's great commentary, and there's such a balance of views, and it makes me go, I can read your comment, I can read Lisa's comment to something and say, I don't agree, but I can see where she's coming from. Then I could read someone else's, and it makes me think, similar commentary, different angle, maybe there's something to that, and I enjoy that kind of mix of opinion. So I like when a Coulthart, a Corbell, Christ, a Greer make certain comments, because I can then decide on my own with my bullshit filter where I put that and where it sits in my basket. Is it something for later? Is it something that I'm not coming back to? Or is it something that's worth chasing up or at least keeping an eye on? Because you do hear things floating about in the background of this podcast. I find it a little bit odd. Not odd, that's the wrong word. I am surprised how big this whole UFO under a building story has gotten. Don't know why. It was on J Project Unity, wasn't it, initially, that Ross initially made that comment. I then followed up with him and he couldn't go into more detail and whatnot, but he did, I think, say to me that it was the first time that the building was in public use and it wasn't something that was just sitting derelict, you know. I don't know. For me, I like hearing it in the same way I've said before. I like when Corbell and Knapp release videos, regardless if they get debunked quickly or not. I like seeing the footage. I like seeing the pictures. I can make up my own mind. I think a lot of folks get frustrated depending on the person, depending on who. But I appreciate you like my style, Lisa. I don't see that changing, you know. I'm sure my wife would love for me to go chasing the money for the big headline stuff, but I enjoy the more sober commentary, I think, perhaps, we'll call it, on the UFO topic, because there's enough interesting stuff to talk about. And final few questions, folks. I can't believe I've been talking for an hour here, and I don't know if you can see on the YouTube, it is getting hot. The midday sun's starting to come round to where I am, and for the love of Christ, it's going to get warm. Dustin says, "Hi Andy, I think the September hearings will be postponed again, and if somehow, miraculously, they crack on as currently scheduled, what's the odds it'll actually be something worthwhile? I know there's been a lot of big talk from Luna and Burleson about needing good whistleblowers' testimony, but I'm not even sure what qualifies as such anymore. Even if someone says, yeah, I touched a dead alien, I truly don't see it making waves at this point. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer." Dustin, not unfair. Again, this is something I'm going to put out to you folks. Comment below in the, if you're on Patreon, if you're on YouTube, if you're online on socials, use the thatufopodcast.com contact form. Because I would love to hear your thoughts on this because I think it's something that's going to come up very soon. I think the hearing will happen. How impactful it is, I don't know. But I would rather it happened than didn't. The same way I'd rather see a video than not have it out at all. But I'd love to know people's thoughts on that. And I do see your point, someone coming out and saying, yeah, I touched a dead alien. David Grush made some pretty spectacular claims that breached, you know, that breached the mainstream in the UK for a short time. I've always said that. Can we get something similar? Would it need to be something even more? I don't know what that more would be at this point without someone coming in and showing us a really good photograph, and it would have to be really good, or a video, a good video. And hopefully they don't use VLC media player like last one of the last hearings or the first ones where there was a big issue. Kay Cloven said, got to react to Jesse Michael's doc on the Nazca mummies or get someone on the show to talk about them. Disclosure will be in Spanish. See, so I have Will Brown, like I've said on the podcast this weekend. Get your questions in for him on the Nazca mummies. Really looking forward to exploring that. Tracy said, it's been quietly confirmed the hearings are happening in September. Yep, I hope they do happen, Tracy. Hope for the best. Okay, here's one. Looking back on the Las Vegas beings incident at the Miami Mall incident. So the Las Vegas beings were the kind of handycam footage, although it was shot on phone, nighttime in someone's garden. I have always struggled to see anything at all in that footage that aren't shadows or tree branches. Really struggled, folks. And I appreciate people have sent me stuff over. I can't see it. So you can still help me out with that one. The Miami Mall incident, which is the one where there was loads of cops and police cars around the Miami Mall. Someone online said it was aliens. There's no video footage or anything. I can't see that wasn't just some hysteria and folks spreading stuff online for clicks and engagement. Happy to be shown otherwise. The immediate hush response and memory hauling of both 2024 incidents make them seem so much more real. And then considering that, it makes both incidents seem like an escalation in contact. But if these events are just one-sided, shut down by the control group, then how will we ever really know what the hell is going on in our backyard? Feels bad, man. Hope for the best. I hope for the best of those situations. I've always struggled with them. Again, those would be ones that would be really easy to sit and chat and bullshit on for views and likes and clicks. They've done well on YouTube. For me, I didn't see it. But again, I think I'm exposed to a lot of different categories, not just UFOs, in terms of the news that I follow from different worlds. And you see the same kind of stuff where rumours just gather pace. The football world has it. And it just comes from a text message being sent around a WhatsApp group that gets forwarded and forwarded and forwarded. And before you know it, you've got some ridiculous rumour that's never going to happen all over the news. But it just came from someone having a laugh and it goes viral and it gets engagement, it gets clicks, it gets likes, and it happens. But who knows? I again, comment below, folks. You know, do that old comment below, like and subscribe. Hey. And also Kate said, thanks for asking. Your hard work, Andy, and taking my question to Chris Leto. Shocking that the Montserrat and other mummies are not outrageously studied, particularly that their metal implants composition should be viewed as a historical contradiction. If the grave robber sells them for metal, it's a crime against humanity's history. I'm a little surprised at this, which is a tangible real thing, not a faked video in the sky, is not being taken more seriously. What do you say about that, Andy? Kate, yeah, I've said I think there's something to this whole mummies thing, but I don't know at this point. I've sat on the fence with it and gone a little back and forward. Stephen Brown, who a wonderful philosopher, really enjoy having Stephen on the podcast to get his thoughts on various things, and I hope to have Stephen back on soon as well, definitely before Christmas if he's available. He originally was quite for the whole mummy situation being an ET potentially hypothesis or origin, and then when I had him back on, I called it a changing perspective because he'd done a little bit more digging and certain things didn't add up to him. Not that he didn't think it wasn't something interesting still, but perhaps not what he thought originally. And I think that's a healthy position to be able to have, that you can change your opinion and be fluid. I'm still leaning slightly more towards not genuine, but there's a story there. There's an interesting story there. an interesting cast of characters, and some of them don't help the story or the narrative. But yeah, Will Brown will be on. I'm looking forward to discussing the whole situation with Will, and get his sober take on things as well. And someone who's been to see the objects will certainly help. And I love this final comment from Enigma. How long do you envisage grifting before having to get a real job? Folks, I have a real job. I have a Monday to Friday, 9 till 5 still, while I do the podcast. And on that note, folks, thank you for listening. If you want to support me going forward in the grift, while I work my full-time real job as well, please sign up to Patreon, Apple, YouTube, Spotify, pay for a membership. It all goes to all kinds of shit, to be honest. But thank you so much for supporting me, the podcast. And if you've pre-ordered the book, wonderful. Hopefully the QR code should be here for you to click on if you're on YouTube. If not, the link is at the top of the description to pre-order. It makes a huge difference. And if you're listening to this in the future, the book comes out mid-September. I would really appreciate folks buying around launch day as well if they can. But that is all for me, folks. Leave your comments. Send me over any questions from the contact form. I still have hundreds of questions from people that I'm going to use for shows in the coming weeks. So please keep sending stuff in. If I've not read your question that you've sent in about random stuff, I will get to it, I promise, more than likely. Feel free to send it in again, though, folks. The best way to do so is the thatufopodcast.com/contact, and that'll get you straight in touch with me. The website will be back up real soon. And for the winter coming, folks, there are going to be some cool merchandise available with the writing for the podcast on there. The logo's evolving and changing. I know folks think it's a little simplistic. Some folks love it. Some folks think it's a little simple, but it's more of a association. So that is going to evolve a little bit as it goes along. But yeah, if you want to get yourself a cool hoodie or something for the winter coming up, or a t-shirt, whatever, all of that goes in. But yeah, really appreciate you repping the podcast, sharing, liking, and still listening at this point as well. So I will speak to you all very, very soon.